Is Winston Smith on the line yet?
Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
And welcome, everyone, to yet another installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you live this afternoon from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, and broadcasting to our affiliate stations and via the Internet, thanks to the Liberty News Radio Network. It is Saturday, March 28th, and we are red hot and rolling. Great to be with you again this evening for another 3 hours of the Political Cesspool radio program. Just a quick broadcasting note, we've got a great show tonight for you, by the way. A couple of outstanding guests, one of which is making his debut appearance on the Political Cesspool, that being Dr. Greg Johnson. He is the editor of the Occidental Quarterly, an outstanding journal which documents Western civilization. And coming up in the third hour, we're going to hear from an old favorite, a man who's been appearing on this program for, 4 years now. Edgar Steele Esquire. He's going to be talking about that troubling situation in Missouri, where apparently the Missouri Highway Patrol pretty much said that everybody who was caught with a Chuck Baldwin or a Ron Paul or a Bob Barr bumper sticker was a potential terrorist. We're going to get to the bottom of all of this a little later on during tonight's broadcast. But first of all, I want to announce that after nearly 2 weeks of work, we're proud to tell everyone that the entire catalog of Political Cesspool broadcast archives are now fully restored and once again ready to be listened to over at our internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're really blessed here to have a very loyal and vaunted listening audience, and a lot of emails have been coming in recently wondering where the shows were for the past 7 months, the RBN shows. And we have gotten those restored now. And actually, the archives page, which is widely popular and quite well visited, has now been broken up into three separate categories to help you navigate more easily through our massive selection. We've got shows from March 2005 through September 2008 in one section. We've got the RBN shows in a second section. And then we've got the current shows. Those we're broadcasting with Liberty News Radio, our exclusive home, in the third section. So take a look at that. It's all been restored. I know a lot of emails have been coming in asking about when those last 7 months were going to be restored. They're up and running now, just as of really a couple of hours ago. Our webmaster got those up. And so rather than me reply to all of you, I'm just saying it on the air right out of the gates here tonight. Go check our website. The entire definitive collection of Political Cesspool shows now back online. Okay, first thing tonight, one of the things we've been celebrating for quite a while now, it seems to be the death of the establishment, quote-unquote, mainstream newspapers. A lot of them have been dying agonizing and painful deaths, and we just get a lot of joy in seeing that happen. Over the course of the last several months, at least, you've heard of a lot of newspapers and some pretty big cities going down. I recently saw here where the Memphis Commercial Appeal, who is always never shy about dedicating ink to attack this radio program, has now upped the charge to 75 cents for a daily paper. And I think the Sunday paper is like $6 or something like that. Even the USA Today is $1 a paper now. For the Monday through Friday's editions. But nevertheless, Bill Rowland assures me, and Bill Rowland, one of the co-hosts here, has worked in the newspaper industry. He has assured me and promised me for a long time, you know the Commercial Appeal is going to go under when they start raising their prices. And lo and behold, it's happened. They've been cutting a lot of their employees. As long as I live long enough to see the Commercial Appeal go down, I will consider my life complete. You know, it's funny, when the Cesspool first came on, they had a big comic in the Commercial Appeal back in 2005. The caption was, "Wise up, we're slipping to the cesspool." And it had a picture of our radio show's logo and a Neanderthal swimming in a cesspool. And, you know, the article that followed was, you know, about you couldn't possibly be intelligent if you listen to this program, because we are, of course, backwards, and we represent ideas of the past because we're paleoconservatives. And then, lo and behold, not only does this show rise up to superstardom over the course of the preceding years, or the following years, I should say, and we've had countless PhDs like Greg Johnson, who's going to be coming on today. It appears as though now the commercial appeal itself isn't going to make it. And Bill Day, the cartoonist who came up with that comic, has been let go in some of the budget cuts there at the commercial appeal in downtown Memphis. So we're all excited about that. But again, they're not the only ones suffering. The LA Times is dying too. And you wonder why the LA Times is dying. Maybe articles like the one I'm about to share with you has something to do with it. It's a four-page article. A four-page article in a newspaper is very rare. That's like a magazine. On Jane Elliott. And Jane Elliott was, of course, a 1960s-era social Marxist. She was the school teacher who came up with the famous blue eyes, brown eyes experiment after Michael King got shot, where she divided her white Iowa students by eye color to teach them about the evils of racism. And now, of course, she's a bitter, hateful old woman, but she's still a liberal hero, and she's still a liar. I read now from the LA Times. This is from the article itself. With King shot just days before in Memphis, Elliot encouraged her third grade students to discuss how something so horrible could happen. Quote, "Finally," I said, "do you kids have any idea how it feels to be something other than white in this country?" End quote. The children shook their heads and said they wanted to learn about it, how it felt to be non-white. So Elliot set the rules. Blue-eyed children must use a cup and drink from the fountain. Blue-eyed school children must leave late to lunch and to recess. Blue-eyed children were not to speak to the brown-eyed children. Blue-eyed children were troublemakers and slow learners. And according to Elliot's experiment, within 15 minutes, lo and behold, within 15 minutes, she observed that the brown-eyed students, within 15 minutes, mind you, morphed into youthful supremacists, and blue-eyed children became uncertain and intimidated. I go back to the article. And I quote Jane Elliott when she said that brown-eyed children, quote, became domineering and arrogant and judgmental and cool and smart. All of a sudden, disabled readers were reading. I thought, this is not possible. This is my imagination. And I watched bright blue-eyed kids become stupid and frightened and frustrated and angry and resentful and distrustful. Now, of course, you know, this is just another load of manure that is being forced down our throats by the establishment media, which makes me so thankful that shows like this are allowed a venue to tell the truth. Thank God for networks like Liberty News Radio, who are dedicated to combating the liberal monopoly when it comes to the establishment papers and press. If you read the whole article, you'll find out why this woman later on became so bitter and hateful. But, she's lying through her teeth anyway. And she knows the media will let her get away with these outrageous lies about this experiment and how in 15 minutes everything changed because they support her agenda. But nevertheless, it's because that newspapers continue to print stuff like this relentlessly, day in, day out. I mean, European Americans are the only people that read newspapers anyway. You know that. You know, nobody else cares to read. Why would anybody want to read? And I never could understand why the newspapers, just like the Republican Party itself, just like television, I know why they're doing it, but it doesn't make it for a very sensible business model when you continue to berate and chastise and talk down to and tell how evil they are, that the only people who actually buy your product. I've never understood how the Republican Party thought it was going to gain them votes to pander to the people who don't vote for them, just like I never understood how it was going to benefit these newspapers subscription-based to pander to the people who have never even picked up a paper. But nevertheless, bottom line is, we start off the show tonight with some good news. It looks like more newspapers are on the verge of bankruptcy and going out of business, the Memphis Commercial Appeal being one of them. And now, you know why. Now you know why. But speaking of media and speaking of music and movies and print, all that stuff, it seems as though the infection of cultural Marxism, the disease of political correctness, is infiltrating everywhere, including one of the last vestiges we've got. Now, I'm an oldies fan when it comes to music. I like 50s and 60s pop. Of course, I never fail to make mention of that on this program. But country music, country music's okay. I mean, it's good. It's got a lot of ethnic value to it, I think. It's the white man's music. But even it now, apparently, is not impervious to political correctness. Rascal Flatts, the big new country pop supergroup, Rascal Flatts, apparently has... Well, we got to go to break. We're going to break. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere.
When the truth is found to be...
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
And believe me, we would love to hear from you. Thank you, Art Frith, for the announcement there. Give us a call. Phone lines are open. Go to the Liberty News Radio website, libertynewsradio.com. Get that phone number again if you didn't jot it down during the bump in, and give us a call. We are live and on the air tonight. Okay, right before the break, I got so caught up in the excitement of this program, I missed my countdown to break, and I talked over the music, and I know Art hates it when I do that, but he'll have to accept my sincere apologies. I was talking to you about country music. All right, here's what's going on with Rascal Flatts. Their new single is Love Who You Love. And many people are calling the song's vague and genderless lyrics a defense of homosexuality and gay marriage, which is something you really don't see out of country music. They have really been, I think, especially compared to other forms of entertainment in recent decades, particularly, country music has really held the line as a working-class, conservative type of music for working-class, conservative-type peoples. And I mean real conservatives. I'm not talking about the Fox News crowd. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, the fact that a lot of people are saying that these vague lyrics are a shout-out to the homosexual community is just fine by Rascal Flatts. Gary LeVox from the band says, quote, we have some gay people that work with us, and we have a lot of friends that are gay, too, and I know that this song has inspired them. I know that coming out was tough on their parents and on them and on the entire family. For a long time, some of them didn't get to hear I love you from their dads or be accepted in that way. It's helped a lot of our friends talking about this song, which is a new release from the country music superstars Rascal Flatts. Well, again, this goes back to the newspapers. As they continue to fall apart based upon the weight of their own delirium, you just hate to see it. You hate to see this stuff. I mean, it's already started to infest a lot of the bigger churches, which I hate to see as a Christian. And now... a lot of good people listen to country music, and you hate to see one of the contemporary country music standard bearers going down that road because, again, I mean, for the 95% of the country that is heterosexual, I mean, shouldn't we, shouldn't we have some sort of representation? Isn't it okay to be heterosexual? I mean, we all know it's okay to be homosexual, and it's evil and distasteful if you oppose, for whatever reasons, any form of perversity, especially homosexuality. But, I mean, can't we at least have, can't the vast majority of us who are normal have, some representation? Apparently not. Apparently that's not in vogue. Apparently that's not going to work. So keep your eyes on Rascal Flatts, folks. That's the latest there. But of course, radical left liberalism is the new conservatism anyway. I've written about it before. I've written about it over and over again on our website. This hot new conservative website called Big Hollywood. I think Winston Smith has just staggered into the studio. Winston, are you over there? Apparently not. Winston was caught in traffic pretty badly. On his way in tonight. We're all getting used to this new time slot. So, We do have a caller from Pennsylvania, though. So while I'm waiting for Winston to stagger in here, let's hope he's not had a wreck. He should have been here by now. I'll keep you posted. Caller, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. About 3 weeks ago, it was late at night. I believe it was Bill Rowland. He did an incredible speech. I mean, he just basically blew my mind when he started talking about a subject which is politically incorrect, which I'm about to speak of, is the Holocaust, basically revisionism. And if anybody has any questions about this, I suggest people log into your website, I believe it was 3 weeks ago, and listen to the man speak for about maybe 20 to 15 minutes regarding this topic. I thought he did such a great job on this matter that all the people out there who have a huge problem with this should listen to him, because he was very articulate. He was very precise, and his information was very well researched. I've heard many people talk on this matter, but he just nailed it dead on. So for anybody out there who has, you know, people have concerns or doubts, they should really listen to him regarding this, because I believe he did some of the best speeches on this matter, because some caller called in and, you know, he had this problem or something.
Right.
And he really set him straight. So I think a lot of people should just, like, burn. You guys should burn that segment on the CD and send it to all your listeners out there.
Well, I thank you so much for the kind words. I remember that program. As you said, it was a couple of weeks ago. And as I mentioned at the very top of this show, and I'll get back to the radical left liberalism is the new conservatism in just a second. But you bring up a good point, caller. I had made mention of the fact that we had just restored all of those archives from the more recent programs we've aired. And, you know, that's what we try to do here. I really think that's the MO of this program, what sets us apart from so many talk radio programs that are on the right side of the fence, is that we will talk about the taboo subjects that everyone else is too shy to do, but we will try to do it as eloquently and as articulately and as surgical-like as possible. We are not shock jocks here. We don't talk about things. We don't go out of our way to try to offend people, and because of our show, and because we do address a lot of sensitive issues with a lot of very high-profile guests, we've certainly carved a reputation for ourselves, and it's a reputation I wouldn't trade for the world. But that's why we have men like Bill Rowland on this show, because it is very hard to talk intelligently and succinctly about some of these matters because they're so volatively charged. And Bill's been with me since the beginning. He's not on tonight. We're waiting on Winston to come in. Bill was on hosting last week on our debut show for Liberty News Radio. But, no, I agree with you more. When I'm sure Bill's listening at home right now. His head just swelled a little bit more. But, no, Bill's great. And, you know, you really just, without saying too much more about it, you really pegged what this program is trying to do here.
Yeah, but that's my whole point. It's not like you guys were saying this and taking to it for some certain angle only that would only basically only certain people would understand. But you really spoke to a wide variety of people there, and you really, the way he made it seem to, because some people just can't get into this topic and they'll just say, oh, no, I don't want to talk about this. But it applies to everybody. There's no bias there. It's just truth, and then there's facts to it. And that's all. Anyways, guys, take it easy and have a good show tonight.
Hey, thank you very much for the call. And again, yes, I think what we advocate is what's right for all Americans. We don't get on here to try to offend folks, even if we've certainly got a legion of people. Listen, we got so many fans, and we're blessed to have a large listenership, but we've got a lot of people who hate this show, too. The Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL, they don't go a month without writing about us or attacking us, and it's because of these issues. They're afraid of us, or they hate the fact that we've been successful, because we debunk a lot of the liberal myths, and we let people know that everything is in bounds in the court of public opinion. Everything ought to be talked about. And if we're wrong about things, then we're wrong. Prove us wrong in a valid debate. But don't shout us down with Marxist construct words like racist and anti-Semite and xenophobe and homophobe and this, that, and the other, because we're advocating a line of thought that really most Americans, even in today's politically correct environment, still agree with. We are the voice for what I hope will not much longer be the silent majority. And I thank you so much for bringing that up. I hate to toot our own horn, and I think that there's probably people much more qualified to do the job that we do. There was certainly no formal broadcast training before we started this radio program, but I'm proud of what we've been able to accomplish, and it's because of listeners like you that we've been able to stay on. so long. But do we have another caller? We have a caller from Texas. Let's keep going to the phones right now. Caller, you're on the air. Or are you? Uh-oh. We must have made that guy mad. I got a dial tone. Well, again, you can go to the Liberty News Radio website, Liberty News. We got to go to break. We'll be back right after this. Man, I am off tonight. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big girls don't cry.
Big girls don't cry. Big girls. They just don't make music any better than that. And I guarantee you the Four Seasons never did a ditty. An ode to homosexuality like Rascal Flatts has just done. But listen, I got good news, everybody. Winston Smith is alive, and he has just made it into the studio. Winston, what happened?
Well, let me just put it this way. Shelby County license plates. There you go. And I was going on a speaking engagement once, James, and I was west of Memphis, and there was no traffic on the interstate, none whatsoever. And in my rearview mirror, I saw this car barreling up the highway towards me at a going very fast. And they came to where I was, and they got less than a car length past me, and they suddenly just shot over into my lane. There was no reason for them to do it. They could have gone on for miles and miles unmolested by any other traffic, but they cut me off in my lane when there was no other traffic. We were the only cars on the road. And I thought, well, what kind of idiot would do something like that? And I looked at the license plate, and it said Shelby County on it, and that kind of said it all.
Well, you know, I think this is actually history in the political cesspool. We have not had a co-host late for the broadcast since I ran out of gas coming to the studio back in 05. You know, so, hey, at least I'm not the only one now. We finally have a second one, but at least you're okay. I just figured you were so excited about having your first show on Liberty News Radio, you might have, you know, stroked over or something. So at least it wasn't that. But I'll give you a quick recap of what we talked about.
Liberty News Radio, whatever. I'm always excited to be on the show with you, James.
Well, and it's always great to work with you and, of course, Bill and Eddie as well. I'll give you the two-minute recap. We talked about newspapers dying. We talked a little bit about Rascal Flatts. Took a couple of calls. Had a good show so far. We'll see what else we can get to. We got Greg Johnson and Ed Steele coming up a little later, so you know the best is yet to come. But, yeah, I've had a pretty good day myself. I actually went to Chuckalisa today, Winston.
You went where?
To Chuckalisa.
What is that?
Oh, my God. All right, if anyone doesn't know, and apparently Winston doesn't either, I was going to say if anyone outside of Memphis doesn't know, Chuckalisa is the Indian Mounds. The Indian village that's subsidized by the University of Memphis out there in T.O. Fuller State Park down by the casinos. You never heard of it? Apparently not. Anyway, what I learned today, Winston, is that the Native Americans or Indians or whatever they like to be called these days were actually very advanced. And with 380,000 bucketfuls of dirt, they could build mounds. You know, beautiful mounds of dirt. I just don't understand how a civilization that advanced and that intelligent were ever able to be conquered. But, you know, you get surprised every day.
Wonders never cease.
What was that?
Wonders never cease.
Wonders never cease. Anyway, back to the show. You know, we normally do a little five-minute banter about the day's events at the very top of the program, but since Winston came in a little late, we just infused it right there in the middle. Nevertheless, we got a caller from Texas. Caller, you're on the line with James and Winston. Caller from Texas, take two. We're having trouble with the phones in Texas, I tell you, Winston. I don't know what we're going to do. Do you want to talk about radical left liberalism, Winston? Does that sound good?
Sure. That always sounds good. That's, easy targets.
All right, no, we do have the caller from Texas. Going back to Texas. We'll go back to the Lone Star State. Third time the charm. You're on the air.
All right, sir. I had a comment about the ADL.
Yeah.
Would you say that the ADL is not a pro-Jewish organization and that instead it's actually a pro-Israeli organization?
I think
the ADL is a pro-ADL organization.
Yeah, you know, I see what
they use their Jewishness as a guise. The ADL is like any other Marxist organization. Its first and really only priority is its own continued existence.
Yeah, I think Winston's right, and I think that goes the same can be said for the Southern Poverty Law Center. I mean, they're in business to make money, and business is very good for them. I mean, they do very well at what they do at hustling down honest people and getting money by creating new demons to slay. Good law-abiding patriots like us, for instance. And we're going to talk more about that actually with Ed Steele later on. But, do they actually help the Jewish people? I really can't say that. I don't see how they are. I think their behavior is quite typical of groups in that racket. But do they actually help the common Jewish man or woman? I don't see how they are. I don't see what dividends are being paid to them.
I think they're more concerned with helping sodomites.
Well, I mean, if you happen to be a very left-wing and radical Zionist, maybe they help you. But I don't know if they help the average Jew, no.
Another question. I don't know, since this is the first time I've listened to your program, where you guys stand on the income tax?
Well, we love it. We think we should pay more money to the government. Now, Winston, do you want to take that one?
The income tax is pretty much illustrative of what is so wrong with our government. The income tax was established to help fund the effort in World War II. And, of course, World War II has come and gone. The income tax has stayed. And once again, like any good Marxist organization, it's the IRS and all that it entails is pretty much concerned only with its own existence. The income tax, I think, is a terrible thing. If we're going to have any kind of taxation at all, it should be a flat tax. That is the fairest way to do it. It is the simplest way to do it. And there's nothing wrong with a flat tax. The only thing that's wrong with it is what is purported to be wrong with it by people whose lives depend upon administering the income tax.
Well, Winston's right. The income tax, like any tax, they always are able to pass these things under the guise of nobility, such as to fund World War II. It was just like a lesser incident, obviously, here in Memphis. I think it was back in 1977, 78, 79, somewhere around then. They had something in the city of Memphis they called the wheel tax. And basically, it's just another car tax. And the wheel tax was going to be implemented for 1 year back in the late 70s so they could air condition all the public schools here in Memphis. Well, 20-some-odd years later, the wheel tax is still on the book, and all of the public schools are still not air-conditioned, and that's pretty much what you get with the government. It's money for everything except for what it should be allocated for, money out of our pockets to support those who don't contribute to society. So, now, I don't like the income tax, that's for sure. The income tax is probably the most egregious of all because that's taxing what you earn off the sweat of your own back. So it's particularly flagrant in my book. Anything else?
Yes, one more thing. The ADL, it goes after people that are against the income tax, right?
Well, I guess it goes after anybody to the right of Joe Stalin.
I don't know the ADL saying anything about the income tax.
Yeah, they go after people like Jack McLam, the tax protest people. Okay.
I see what you're saying. They use the income tax to attack them, much like the federal government used tax evasion to nail Al Capone.
Perhaps, but since the income tax is from the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve was founded in 1913, I looked up the ADL, and I found they were also founded in 1913, so that's kind of strange.
Hey, why have one dastardly organization when you could have two in the same year? What a year 1913 was. Well, nevertheless, whatever. Listen, I mean, that's just another reason to dislike the ADL and what they stand for, if what you're saying is true. I haven't really done the research into that. There's enough on the books about the ADL that would make normal Christian folks cringe, but you might have uncovered another one. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jim in Buffalo. Big fan of ours, and we're a big fan of his. Jim, how you doing tonight? Jim, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Great to hear from you again, my friend.
Hey, I moved with you.
Well, thank you for coming over, making the long, hard slog, as Dick Cheney would say, from RBN to LNR.
Well, you know what? Actually, I sent you an email the other day. I'm not sure if you still have the same email address you had before. I'm going to go double-check it and make sure I got it.
No. I just actually got it today. I haven't been on the email in a few days. My uncle's been laid up in the hospital, and we've had a lot of stuff going on, so I've been a few days behind in checking my email, but I did get that, and we're very honored to have your support, and I'd love to help you out by appearing on your station.
Well, you know, I'm glad you got it. I was wondering what was going on. I knew you guys were real busy with the switch, and I'm sure it was a lot of work, but, you know, we have, of course, signed on as an affiliate with Sam, and we're proud to do so because there's some great programming that now we are continuing to carry, and of course your show is the impetus for really making that switch, by the way. So we certainly
well thank you
lose.
So much. Hey, Jim, sit tight if you don't mind. I want to carry you over to the next break. We got to take a timeout. We're going to be back with more right after this on the Political Cesspool Radio Program with James Edwards and Winston Smith.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. James Edwards and Winston Smith in studio with you this evening. We're going back to the phones to our good friend Jim in Buffalo. And Jim was making mention of the fact, and again, we're very thankful, eternally grateful, in fact, to have his support. He is carrying the show for listeners up in Buffalo, New York. And you can catch us up there on Jim's station, 1650 AM. And Jim, you were just saying that when we came over to the new network, your station came with us. I can't thank you enough for that.
No problem. When I heard that you were moving, of course, I contacted Sam immediately and signed up as an affiliate to make sure that we carried your show. In fact, we'll take it one step further, James. We've even made arrangements with the network to have the 3 hours of the program rebroadcast from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. Sunday.
Winston, what can you say about a guy like that? I mean, my hat's off.
Mine, too. He's a real trooper, and we are very grateful to you, Jim.
Well, we need a lot more stations signing on, and we need stations all over the country to put this kind of programming on because it's sorely lacking, unfortunately.
Well, you know, I tell you what, as bad as things are, and let's not kid ourselves. I mean, we're fighting a retreating battle on all fronts. I mean, things don't look good right now, but I still have a glimmer of hope when there are networks like Liberty News Radio. You got people like Sam Bushman and Michael Powers, and you've got shows like ours for whatever we're worth, and then we got men like you, Jim. I mean, there is, you know, until you're the only one left, you've still got some sort of a chance.
Right. Well, you know, we're doing what we can. That's all, and that's really all we can do. But at least some of us are doing something, you know. But listen, James, you know what? I have to say, though, every time you say that the ADL or the Southern Poverty Law Center talks about you guys, I consider that a badge of honor.
Oh, we do, too. And I'll tell you, it was back in 2005. That's the truth. We would never be here, ironically. If it hadn't have been for, I'm telling you, they hit us pretty hard back in 05. And I really don't know why, because at that point we were relatively mild. I mean, I don't think we're extreme in any nature right now. I think we give a good, solid program, a hard-hitting show, but we're certainly not reactionary, or I don't think we take things too far at all. I think we're well-mannered and well-spoken. We talk about hard issues, but we talk about them with dignity and to the best of our ability with honor. But for whatever reason, back when we first got started, the SPLC came at us pretty heavily. I think for having, Sam Dixon and Babe Buchanan on and just a couple of people they didn't like. And They made us. I mean, they absolutely made us. It's a right. I don't know if it's a symbiotic relationship or a parasitic relationship, but if it wasn't for them really getting our name out there, I don't really know if we would have made it this far. So it's a badge of honor, number one, and to their chagrin, they've probably helped us much more than they've ever hurt us.
Right, and I think it's probably twofold, because I think part of it is they're constantly looking for someone to point the finger at to extort money out of people, basically, to continue their this operation.
Well, that's what it's all about in the end. I mean, I guess in turn we've helped them raise money, because without having new demons to slay, I mean, you can only beat on the Klan for so long. I mean, I don't think there's anything such as the Klan anymore, unless you count the FBI informants that are there. But I mean, the Klan, they've been beating on the Klan for 30 years. The Klan doesn't really exist anymore, so they got to have other people to keep, justifying the donations that they have to have in order to eradicate racism and anti-Semitism from the face of the earth. But, right. They're really getting overzealous now. I think it was obviously unwarranted to put us in that category,
right.
Because we've never done anything, violent or said anything in poor taste or advocated any sort of insurrection. But now you're talking about the new people, the new demons to vilify. They're going for people who vote for the Constitution Party. And that's what Ed Steele's going to be on to talk about. He's going to, when Ed Steele comes on in the third hour, he's going to say people like me and people like him are really not that far removed from the mainstream, everyday conservative Republican voters. We might be a little more informed, but when they start lumping in Bob Barr supporters, for crying out loud, with so-called white supremacists and violent skinhead groups like they've done in Missouri. I mean, they're really overreaching.
Hey, James. Well, it's fodder for mainstream news every day because I hear it. And just a real quick example. I don't know. Did you hear this back a few weeks ago? I'm sure you try not to listen to them. Unfortunately, I'm stuck listening to them. is the BBC, just a completely irrelevant news organization as far as I'm concerned. They reported with a fervor for 2 days about that woman who was allegedly pregnant and was simply minding her own business on a cell phone in Switzerland. Did you hear that? She was Brazilian and was viciously attacked and slashed by three skinheads, as they called them. And apparently she could tell that one of them even had a swastika tattooed on the back of his head.
Of course he did.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I didn't catch that, but this sounds like a copy and paste type of article.
Right. 2 days I heard this story. I mean, 2 straight days. Well, it turns out on that weekend, the story comes out by the AP that says after forensic experts got a hold of this woman, they found out that the wounds were self-inflicted, and that the woman wasn't even pregnant. I never heard, and see, this is what the problem is. See, we never really heard that story retracted. So therefore, as far as most people are concerned who don't do their homework, the story in fact did happen, didn't it?
Well, yeah, this is typical again. I mean, they'll beat something like this over and over and over and over again, and once it turns out to be something unlike what they reported or a complete hoax, just like the Gina Louisiana episode or the Tawana Brawley scandal. I mean, you pick your poison. They will relentlessly flush that down the national news pipes. And then once it comes out, once it all unravels, it just quietly fades away. Never will they issue a retraction. Never will they correct themselves unless, in doing so, they further perpetuate political correctness or cultural Marxism. You know how it works.
I know exactly how it works. And one other point, though, that you were saying that you folks don't feel you've said anything out of the ordinary. Maybe I can describe it. You folks are saying exactly what most people say, okay? I mean, I have some wacky liberal friends who in public will watch everything and you know how the politically correct crowd is. They're insane. Okay, but then when you get them alone, or you go out and you have a beer with one of them, say after work, it's a completely different story. So everybody knows, it's just who's willing to talk about it and who isn't willing. If you're willing to do it publicly, then you run the risk of wreaking the wrath of these so-called anti-hate groups, which to me appear to be hate groups themselves.
You're exactly right. I mean, no one could be more anti-American than the ADL or the SPLC. And I get emails I'm talking every day, Jim. And I'm grateful for that from people all over the world who say, you know, you're speaking, just what you're saying tonight, Jim, you're speaking our language. You're saying the things we wish we could say. Well, you can say it. You know, this is what I try to explain to these folks. I mean, you know, we're not getting paid to do this. We're doing it because we feel as though we have a dedication and a responsibility to do this in order to protect and defend the country that we inherited for our ancestors. Everyone should be speaking these truths if they sincerely believe our political ideology. They should be speaking out, too. I know it's politically incorrect, quote-unquote, but my God, what's worse, being a little politically incorrect in front of the people that hate you or letting this run to the last full measure and us being absolutely displaced, if not eradicated, because that's what we're really facing. So the least we can do is speak out while we still have the ability to do so. Because I tell you, having to bear arms and go to war to survive is something we don't want to do. I'd much rather talk about it than have to risk death. But I would do that if it came to it. But, you know, you're right, Jim. We get folks saying that this is the way most people think within the confines of their own living room. We need people to be bold as our ancestors were bold,
right,
out in the public square and in the court of public opinion.
Right. And it's unfortunate that it seems to me that, of course, people are browbeaten. And they are afraid of being ostracized and losing their jobs. And, you know, you'll get your name in the paper if you say the wrong thing before there's any proof that you actually did anything.
Yeah, but you know what? I was always afraid of that. I remember the first article that was written about this show back in 2005 that appeared on the front page of the Commercial Appeal here in Memphis, as a matter of fact. And I was worried about it back then because I was younger and I didn't have the experience that I've got now 4 years later. But, you know, so what if they write about you in the newspaper? It's not the end of the world. I mean, and nobody reads it anyway. In fact, the few people who still read newspapers probably agree with us. I know everybody who reads the Commercial Appeal hates it. So anyway, Jim, we're about to come up to the next break. I want to thank you again, my friend, for calling in. And I'm going to be back in touch with you this week. And let's continue to work together. You've been a real godsend. And we thank you for carrying our program up there in New York on your fine station.
No problem. And James, real quick, you're going to be in good company if we can get you on, because Chuck Bates is going to be my guest tomorrow at 4 Eastern. He'll be from IRN USA News. He'll be discussing this in a little more depth. So,
Another Memphian. So we'll keep you posted. Let me know how that goes.
Will do. Nice to talk to you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you very much, Jim, up in Buffalo. Well, Winston, we might even let you talk in the second hour. I don't know.
I'll be ready.
I'm just kidding. Thanks for sitting tight, Winston. We got plenty more coming on. In the second hour tonight, I can't believe an hour's already gone by. James Edwards and Winston Smith will be back with you. More in the Political Cesspool on Liberty News Radio right after this.
1 hour down and two to go. Stay tuned. Hour number two of the Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
Harv leaped to his feet and said, "Something's got a hold on me." Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church. In that sleeping little town of Pascagoula, it was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the Amen.